lives aren't like they used to be. They're busier. Early morning Zooms, grabbing coffee to make that in-office meeting, getting to your kid's soccer game on time. Life is different, and so is advertising. To reach any audience, you need your message out there in all media, broadcast to streaming, on screens, and right to the ears of your customers. And that's what we do at Odyssey. Let's build a media campaign that targets the customers you know and want to reach more of, right here in our community. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle as it is week one in the National Football League. Game one of the season right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game coming up on Thursday between the Cowboys and the Eagles. Pregame at 7, kickoff at 8:15. Falcons, of course, on Sunday as
well. Yeah, man. It is here. And not like this new thing where the NFL is playing on every damn night. There's a game Friday night also.
In
Brazil.
That's right.
And so, yeah.
Are they playing Saturday or not?
That's what I was thinking. I don't think they took Saturday all the way over yet. We had to wait till like December. And then it's like, you know, it's a playoff game, but we're going to
Yep.
Yeah, NFL don't care.
Yeah, no, they would play 7 days a week.
If they could,
If they could.
If they could, they
should. And maybe someday they will.
Yeah.
365
no
days
practice.
A year. Yeah, no practice, just play. It doesn't matter. Player safety, though. All right, let's get Mike Conte in here. We'll talk a bit about the Falcons as we go along in the segment, but a lot to get to. Mike, how are you?
Good, guys. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Let's start with your headline from week one in college football. If you had to just sort of circle in on one thing that stood out to you the most in the first week of college football, what was it?
Way too many overreactions.
So much overreacting.
Defenses clearly ahead of the offenses. That's my big headline.
Which is always a true thing.
That's a great non-overreactionary headline.
Yeah.
Which is always a true
thing. And it happened everywhere. It happened in Ohio State, Texas. It happened in Notre Dame, Miami until it really opened up at the end. I was watching that South Carolina-Virginia Tech game for a long time on Sunday and thinking, wow, I mean, these defenses are just completely ahead of the offenses right now. So that's why, like, I'm here's another headline. None of the contenders did anything to damage their resumes.
I agree.
You know, Texas was competitive. Notre Dame was competitive. Clemson was competitive. They're fine. You know, there will be a huge overreaction. I'm sure when we get the polls today, you're probably going to see LSU at 1 or 2. I think that is absurd. But they're going to get a lot of credit because they won a game at Clemson. Ohio State should be unanimous number one. I think that's deserved. But I didn't see anything this past weekend that made me think, boy, that's a team that everyone really expected something from, and they just don't have it. I think this is still going to evolve over the next couple of weeks. And I also think, too, because we have such a short memory, a month from now, we'll probably forget all about what happened in the Clemson LSU game or the Notre Dame Miami game or even Alabama Florida State. And I would even say Alabama has not done enough to damage anything significantly about their goals for this season. It is a road loss in a non-conference game. Their margin for error is probably a little bit thinner now. But it's a road loss in a non-conference game. And we don't know yet how good Florida State is.
Right.
Florida State, I mean, the one thing I think we can say about the ACC is that's going to be a more competitive conference than I think we gave them credit for.
It's going to be a top-heavy
conference. I mean, I think we saw the bottom, like Wake Forest almost lost to Kennesaw State.
Adam.
North Carolina got embarrassed. Like the bottom of the conference, NC State should have lost to East Carolina. The bottom of the conference isn't very good, but the top of the conference, Miami, I still have Clemson up there. Now Florida State enters that picture. SMU has been in the picture. That's a pretty robust top group. And, you know, Georgia Tech, probably on the fringe of that, overcame a lot of mistakes to get a road win. That's fine. My opinion doesn't change about Georgia Tech. So no real big losers this weekend, in my opinion. A lot of big winners, Ohio State probably being the biggest one.
What did you think about last night? Because I've always been under the, you know, like, greatness brings haters. Greatness brings haters, and he's one of the greatest ever do it. And so when it doesn't go well, it's like everything is an avalanche of on Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
I was under the impression where I didn't know how good they were considering all the new players that they had.
Correct.
Like, And the only thing I can laugh about now is that Michael Jordan's not going to fly his not going to get on his private plane from Capri anymore to come to Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
But, I mean, are you surprised at all by what happened?
No, not at all. Not at all. And plus, if you look at, like, the forensics of what happened, TCU had at least one pick six or, like,
one pick six, one scoop and score.
Yeah, and a scoop and score. So, I mean, that's 14 points right there. That's kind of an anomaly. Just like Florida State, I don't think we really know how good TCU is. And this is something that really annoyed me during the playoffs last year. Oh, well, Indiana doesn't belong because they got blown out by Notre Dame. SMU doesn't belong because they got blown out by Penn State. You're demeaning Penn State and Notre Dame when you make those arguments. Don't demean TCU by making this all about North Carolina. And Randy's 100% right. Like, I think there are a lot of people lining up hoping that Belichick will fail because he's Bill Belichick and he's a curmudgeon and all of that. But I didn't have very high expectations for North Carolina to begin with.
Belichick
gets...
I don't know why anybody did.
I don't know why anybody did.
I'll tell you what. If Belichick gets the team I saw last night into a bowl game, if he gets six wins out of that group, he's an even better coach than I think we all realize because they don't have a lot of talent right now.
Well, that's what we talked about on Friday was like there's so much movement in college football these days. But, you know, sometimes there's guys that you've seen at other places and you saw it all across the weekend. I was like, oh, Squirrel White plays there now.
Right.
Oh, look at Justice Haynes.
Yeah.
Alabama would have loved to have
played
Justice
really good.
Haynes.
He was really good. He was really good.
Dude, that guy was really absolutely off for me.
Yes.
He got me 75 fantasy.
He was really good.
He was so good. But you see, but then other times, and this, I'm not saying I know every player that transfers, but sometimes you see a transfer class and it's like, well, I haven't really heard of any of those guys. And that was the case at North Carolina. It's like, yeah, they have a lot of new faces, just like a lot of teams do.
Yep.
But none of those guys were, and trust me, I had heard of some of them because many of them came from Washington's defense last year, along with Steve Belichick. So I wasn't super surprised to see their defense look like they did last night.
Right.
But like, I don't know. It was obviously a fun, easy headline topic for people to glom onto, but I don't know why anyone would have thought it would have looked much different than it did.
I think it really only works when you hit the portal as hard as North Carolina hit it. I think it really only works if you get an obscene amount of players from one school. Mm-hmm.
Like Indiana did last year
with James Madison, a contending school, and they all came with. I thought that would work better for Southern Miss with all those Marshall players. Now, you know, they played an SEC team, so maybe hold that thought on Southern Miss. And if we're talking about Southern Miss this early in the segment, perhaps we should move on to something else. But I think that only works.
That's the college football's back, baby. We're talking about Southern Miss.
I think it only works.
This is great.
If you get 10 or 15 guys who all played together the year before, that's where it would really make a tangible impact.
Alabama. We talk about panic button, and it's there, right, Flo?
I get it.
You know, sometimes you sit back and just want to turn on the ball-headed man with the glasses show just to hear it.
I want to hear what he has to say.
You know what? I was in the car. I said, let me just see what they're saying. It's panic. It's DEFCON down there, right?
It's ridiculous.
When you say, Mike, the fourth quarter wasn't over yet, and they were talking about buyout.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Which, by the way, is $70 million. So have fun with that. You know, like, but – there is kind of a serious component to this, okay? And I think this is something that's going to protect coaches like Kalen DeBoer and other coaches who have big buyouts. And if Jimbo Fisher were maybe 5 years later at Texas A&M, he might still be coaching there, and here's why. You're a booster, and now you have the option. Do I sink my money into NIL, or do I sink my money into a buyout?
Mm-hmm.
The smart play is to sink it into NIL.
Right.
Because Kalen DeBoer is a good coach.
Yes.
Okay. He didn't forget how to coach on the flight from Seattle to Tuscaloosa. Okay. I think the critique of him, I get it, because Alabama has a level of expectation, and Florida State was so dreadful last year, and I get it. I understand the frustration. But here's the thing. In 3 weeks, Bama could go into Athens and upset Georgia, and no one is even going to be talking about what happened on Saturday. And I think, you know, again, if I'm one of those big Bama boosters and I'm looking at, is my $1 million check going to go further in the NIL realm or the coach buyout realm, I'm sinking it all into NIL.
Yeah, no, we asked Kirby about that, not like that, but mm-hmm. sort of in the summer. Was like, there's mm-hmm. so much continuity in coaching staffs in the SEC.
Yeah.
All the same head coaches, almost all the same offensive and defensive coordinators. And he was like, yeah, they can't afford to buy them out.
Well,
like, and they have to give the money to the kids.
Here would be the other problem for Bama. Who would you go after if you fire Kalen?
Because I'm like,
probably the flavor of the week is Mario Cristobal. What's his buyout at Miami?
Right.
And what are you going to have to pay him now to make that jump from Miami? Or is Dabo going to be the flavor of the week right. and bring him back home? Or is James Franklin, who's never beaten a top 10 anyone, going to be the flavor of the week? And what's the buyout there? So it's not just the $70 million buyout. It's mm-hmm. probably another $50 million on top of it right. to bring in the new coach.
Right.
Again, I'd rather put my guys on the field. You know, and pay it in NIL and get the most talented team possible.
Well, and that's the thing that makes it complicated, too. And again, it's week one. They can win their way out of this very easily
yes.
in the next 5 or 6 weeks. Alabama can. But just like last year with Billy Napier, it was like they're bringing in pretty good players.
Yeah.
Like Alabama's got really yeah. good-looking recruiting classes over the next couple of years. That's one thing that, even though he's lost 5 games already of the however many, 14 or something that he's coached at Alabama, which is pretty crazy. They haven't dropped off in recruiting. They had that dip when they lost some guys transfer portal wise when Saban left, but they've done a pretty good job of keeping that ball rolling. So,
yeah.
and maybe the argument would be, well, it's Alabama. Like, guys are going to come. We have the money to pay them. Whatever.
Well, I don't know if that's the case
anymore. I don't know if it is.
Yeah.
Either. I don't know if it is either. But that they would say that that's why it's continued post Saban and the winning hasn't and that still has. But yeah, I mean, $70 million and a bunch of good recruiting classes in the pipeline, like. Not buying this guy out.
No.
Plus,
no,
again,
I think it'd be incredibly short sighted. If you do that, then you're Auburn.
Week one.
Yes.
If you do that, then you're Auburn. And how has that worked out for
because
Auburn?
Because that was the thing about it was when they did hire Harsin. Remember they brought
yep.
Harsin. Everybody mm-hmm. was like, who the hell is this guy?
Yep.
From Boise State. What? Yep. He don't know nothing about this. And it was proven to be right.
Right.
I always say this about DeBoer. He wasn't never the first job. I wonder, he never was. I don't know who they wanted. They wanted Dan Lanning. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But Oregon's like, no.
Well, they probably wanted Kirby.
There was no way. They
and that was unrealistic. But I'm sure at the very tippy top of their wish list was someone like Kirby.
That was never going to happen. Right?
No.
But I think the thing with Alabama is, you know, you never want to be the man to replace the man.
It's
very
funny because Ray Perkins had a lot of good teams, but he's always remembered as the guy after Bear Bryant.
Yes.
Bill Curry had a lot of good teams.
Yep.
He's the guy after Bear Bryant. He's always won a national championship.
He did.
And got fired a couple years later because he wasn't Bear Bryant either. I think there's something to be said for continuity, but again, I'll restate it. Money goes further in NIL now than coach buyouts. And I hope that's a message that's heard around the country, not just in Tuscaloosa.
What program went from, I don't know, wherever they were before their game played over the weekend? Maybe they're in the middle, maybe they're mm-hmm. down on their team, mm-hmm. whatever, to the highest. Like, who had the biggest vibes boost in
other than
one?
Florida State, which
might
I think
be the
is...
That might be the answer.
I think you almost have to put that to the side because that's such a huge, huge deal for them and that program. Wow. That's a good question. I was really, really impressed with Ole Miss. Close ball game at halftime and just completely opened a can in the second half on Georgia State.
But I
think we had high expectations for Ole Miss, and it's a little hard to gauge against that level of competition. Abe tells me in my ear, Auburn. I'll go with that. I thought that was a solid win.
Auburn fans are happy with that.
I don't think we know who Baylor is, though.
No.
You know, that's the tough thing. It's really... But to Abe's point, and I guess I'll try to advance it. Auburn now is a top 25 program, based on that win. And coming into the season, we thought maybe they were 40-50.
Yes,
so that's a big jump too. Florida State though should be ranked.
Oh, they
Florida
better?
State should be ranked
it
today.
Better be.
You know, well, I don't trust these.
I know.
These pollsters.
It's all very silly. All the numbers that were in front of their names last week mean nothing because no one had played.
That's right. Yeah.
And then you saw them play. Yeah. Against, good competition, some of them.
Although all these people want to drop Penn State from 2 to 11 because they didn't beat, Notre Dame or LSU or, Clemson or Texas. Like, there is a little bit of fairness, too. Like, Penn State was one vote away from being first in the AP poll.
They won by 35.
I saw a guy locally who ranked them number one preseason and dropped them to number 3.
All right.
They did what they were supposed to do. Yeah, I mean, I don't like that they played Nevada, and they were not mistake-free by any stretch, and we could go for a long time on this segment for me to complain about how Penn State played. But, I mean, how do you drop a team two spots for winning by 35 points? I don't understand that. But
I wouldn't.
I think
I wouldn't drop them.
I think also the ESPN machine is starting to crank up a little bit on the LSU train. And,
sure.
You know, I look at everything that network does with skepticism because they're in a business relationship
right.
with the Southeast.
Right. So.
Nobody's happier than Paul Feinbaum, though, that he gets to open the phone lines about Kalen DeBoer today.
And not
talk about the proclamations that he made about Arch before the season.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's Tim Tebow and all that.
By
again,
the way,
Arch,
he still could be.
Of course.
He made a
couple throws. But if we're going to overreact to one thing.
No, that's true.
You know what I mean?
But in fairness to Arch, he made a couple throws in that game where I was like, wow, that is an NFL throw right now. He made a couple not so great decisions, and Ohio State was very, very game. Mm-hmm. But I'm not closing the book on Arch Manning yet.
Oh, we just talked about college football for 15 minutes.
Atlanta United won, and they had a great performance in Nashville. Right. Ronald Hernandez scored, and that was terrific.
Hell yeah.
And I think
road win,
first of the year. And I think the Falcons game on Sunday is going to be a doozy.
You know your customers. Ralph likes his coffee black on Fridays, but Mondays he takes a little cream. Jennifer comes in every 3 years when her lease is up to get the newer and better model. And for some reason, pepperoni pizza sells like crazy on Friday nights. Who knew? At Odyssey, we have the expertise to get your media plan done right. With ads like you're hearing right now, to targeted social media campaigns, search engine optimization, and location-based advertising. Advertise with Odyssey and help us grow your business. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
There, we covered all our bases.
Tuesday we'll react to the Falcons game.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you don't get to talk as much college football as you'd like to.
I know, and I love it. I couldn't contain myself.
It was great. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We will get into an NFL no huddle as it is week one in the National Football League. We'll get back into a bunch of the college football storylines, some of the hot takes, some of the overreactions at 12:20 as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What you heard right there was the power of audio. And audio is what we do at Odyssey. That true crime podcast you spent hours listening to, we produce that. That radio station where you discovered your favorite artists, that's our station. That weird playlist of bongo music, we ain't judging. One of our curators made that. Advertise with Odyssey. We can get your message in front of a broad or targeted audience. Visit ads.odyssey.com.